Got an issue you just can't fix?
On the fence about what direction you should take?
Been wrestling
with a situation that's out of control?
Let's take it out of the too hard basket.
And this week's Too Hard Basket issue is from Nina. And Nina writes to us to say, my husband's family are from the UK. He has no family in Australia. We went over to the UK 6 years ago, she writes, and now they've asked us to go there again and share a house with them over the Christmas period for a week, restrictions permitting. Nina goes on to say they said they can't afford to fly to Sydney, although they regularly holiday all over the world, and by the Facebook social measure, they appear wealthy, says Nina. We are a blended family, she says. My daughter's mental health is poor and it's affected all of us, and we have financial constraints of our own. My husband, she says, wants us all to go to the UK because he doesn't want to be alone. I'm worried, says Nina, that we will not be mentally fit as a family to spend a week with people who don't know a thing about what we're going through. The psychologist says my husband needs to try to understand what our daughter is experiencing is serious. He is very angry, this is Nina's husband, about going on his own. He says he will never forgive me. His stepchildren do not want to go. Is it a cultural thing, says Nina, to show up and play happy families? Am I being unreasonable? How can I help him understand I'm not being selfish? Any advice for Nina? Perhaps you've had to make a similar decision in your life. Well, if your response on Facebook is anything to go with, you have plenty of advice on this. We've had more than 400 comments on the RN Facebook page with regard to this, but you can leave your comment there and add to that discussion. Just go to the RN Facebook page. To tackle this with me is my old friend and mucker, Andrew Fuller, psychologist and author of The A to Z of Feelings, which I think we'll have a little chat about soon, but also one of our other favourite regulars, Denise Erickson, co-founder of Media Mentors. Andrew, Denise, hello.
Hello, Michael. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, everyone. Great to be with you and great to talk to you again, Michael.
Oh, it's great to have you back on, Andrew. Andrew, of course, Three Men and a Feeling and a bunch of other things we've done together. Denise, I want to start with you, though. Can you relate to what it's like to have relatives abroad and not be able to see them?
Oh, totally. You know, oddly, Michael, I got a bit weepy reading this one. And I think my viewpoint on it might be slightly different to some other people, because COVID has cut me off from people around the world that I totally love. And I hadn't realised how upsetting it was. So on this one, I sort of feel that, like, I can absolutely understand why Nina's husband wants to go back to the UK. And I can understand why he wants his family with him. And, you know, it'd be very easy to go, oh, just get on with it, mate. You're a bloke. You can hop on the plane yourself. What are you? But I think it's much more complex than that, because I think that people are really hurting from not being able to reunite families. I'm off to New Zealand next month for the first time, and I cannot wait to be reunited with my New Zealand family.
On that issue, Denise, before I go to Andrew on this, I mean, the way you've just couched it all sounds very reasonable. Is there that great emotional pull when you can't see people day to day because of whatever restrictions may be in place? And he hasn't seen his family for 6 years, it seems. But when he says to Nina, I'll be very angry if I have to go on my own and I will never forgive you, do you think that's reasonable?
Look, I think that reading between the lines, and it's always dangerous to do that, of course, Michael, but reading between the lines, I think there's a major problem with communication between the two families. And I take that from comments like the family in the UK don't know enough about the family, what's happening here in Australia. So I'm not sure how much of it is based on a lack of understanding about the family in the UK and a lack of knowledge by the people in the UK about what happens here in Australia. And I mean, when Nina said that she relies on Facebook to actually gauge people's wealth on the basis of what they post on Facebook, that doesn't strike me as particularly good communication.
So it's one of the, true.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the C words I'd use in this. There's a couple, and the second one is compromise, which we can come to. But for me, communication here seems to be lacking. And maybe that's something that's a separate issue within their marriage and their partnership. And maybe he does feel that strongly. And it's not a great thing to say. And it's not a great thing to feel. But clearly, it's being driven from somewhere. It's not. And, if you know, he hasn't seen his family for 6 years.
Andrew, as we've discussed, so many layers already to what's going on here within this family. We can only guess at some of them. But Nina's been very clear about one thing, and that is that her daughter has issues around mental health. And even the psychologist for the family is saying Nina's partner needs to acknowledge that this kind of pressure on the family to all go to the UK may be detrimental to everyone's health. How do you see it as someone who works in that field?
Yeah, I think we could title this How to Have a Lousy Christmas, really, or a lousy holiday. So I think that's the first thing. Because the border restrictions make this pretty unlikely to occur, I reckon we can probably talk about it more broadly, because most families, of course, have an issue like this. So Nina's situation, while understandably upsetting, is reflective of almost every family, because every family can change people with different perspectives, right?
Right.
And so...
Right.
And how you resolve those, and I guess the sort of classic textbook way is you sort of sit down and you get to some compromise. I don't know, you catch up in Singapore. I don't know what it would be in this case. But anyway, I'm not sure it's viable, a compromise. But one of the things that I was thinking about as I was reading over Nina's notes was that basically we have sort of two major decision-making centres in our brain, and without getting too boring about it, one's right behind your eyes. And that decision-making centre is sort of, can I do it or not do it? Yes, no, you know, go, not, that kind of stuff, right? And lots of arguments and battles in families, particularly families where there's differences of opinion, basically involve that part of the brain. But higher up in your forehead, or behind the higher part of your forehead, this other part of your decision-making structure that weighs stuff up, and it basically has different priorities. Well, if we do that, this will happen, what should happen at that, and so on. And it's a more complex decision-making structure. So one of the things that we need to do in families where there's differences of perspective is to shift our decision-making from that kind of yes-no either or kind of thinking behind our eyes to the higher part of our brain, which is weighing it up. So it's almost like cooling our heels for a while and starting to discuss, because basically behind these two positions between Nina and her husband are fears. And those fears, we don't exactly know what they are, but they're strong. But the problem with families, and having worked with lots of them, is that what appears to be the first fear is often not the real fear. And so basically it might be, okay, I fear that I'll not catch up with my family, but there might be a fear that perhaps they will contract COVID and be ill. That's one possibility. The other fear is that the daughter might become mentally unwell over there. There's all sorts of possibilities. But the more that you can pause the decision and have the discussion, the more you can flesh out as a family what those fears are and how we can resolve them.
Yeah, look, some really interesting points you make there, Andrew. I mean, I guess one of the things you raised at the very front there too was about the fact that maybe this visit won't even be possible because of COVID. However, if you aren't seen by members of the family to make a decision either way before COVID becomes a factor, that can also send the wrong message to both the UK and to Nina's family that, in fact, there was no will to make this happen in the first place, which can only add to tension as well. Given what's going on here, and of course, Denise, you've said this too, and it's a viable point that Nina's husband wants to go back to the UK rather than meeting in Singapore, clearly because he wants to experience family in situ, because that's what he's missing, and he wants to bring his family along with that. Is there a compromise if the children are old enough that perhaps Nina and her partner go? I think he still has to apologise for some of the emotional blackmail he's putting up against her, but I mean, go for just a week, leave the children behind with people that they trust and know, and everyone gets a little bit of what they need. What do you think of that?
That was my thinking, to be honest, Michael. Look, I've been in sort of intercontinental relationships where families are on different sides of the world, and of course a blended family does add that layer of complexity. But as it's only a week, I wonder whether or not that Nina and her husband could go. He clearly feels deeply about it. And sometimes, look, I'm not very good at marriages because I only had one and it wasn't that great. But I did learn while I was married that I did have to compromise, and we had lots of differences that we had to negotiate between us that felt just as big as what Nina's describing, to be honest. And there were times where I felt that I was being sort of pushed by my ex-partner, who I still love to bits, by the way, and we're good friends, but by him saying, well, you just have to because it just like means so much to me, I can't do it, you know. And so it is about compromise. And I think that, you know, I can see why he doesn't want to go on his own. He wants part of his Australian family at least to be with him when he's with his UK family. I think that is a compromise that could be possible. And I think that whatever it is, there's got to be better communication between the two countries and the two families to see if they knew of this situation, maybe they would hop on a plane and come over. I don't know, but it's got to be compromised. It has to be.
Andrew, we're running out of time, but just quickly, any suggestions for how Nina may approach this, given that her husband may be resistant, just quickly?
Well, the most important people in this are the couple themselves. So let's take out the bystanders, the family in the UK or the broader family here. This couple have to basically have conversations over and over and over about this until they get to the point, not of defending their position, but understanding it. So one of the things that I try and teach people in therapy is when you have basically have a couple and they have different perspectives, it's time to get curious, you're not a defense attorney. Your job is to become curious and try to understand what's behind their thinking. And the more you become curious about that, what's really fascinating, you can end up with two diametrically opposed positions, and what emerges out of it is a common understanding of often the pain that lies behind what appears to be obstinate kind of, you know, divided opinion.
Andrew, thank you for that. And Andrew's new book, by the way, is called The A to Z of Feelings, which, as I understand it, has been written on the back of our wonderful conversations in a series called Three Men and a Feeling, which was also held with co-conspirator John Hendry. And that book is out at the moment. Denise Erickson, co-founder of Media Mentors, thank you so much again for your wise and sage advice.
Thank you. And I loved listening to Andrew. My God, I could have listened to you all day, Andrew. Brilliant stuff. Thank you.